Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama, a new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with a king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. Hello, the internet, and welcome to season 165, episode 1 of Der Daily Zeitgeist! The first and only episode of season 165, so we're going to have to pack a lot in. This is a production of iHeartRadio. This is a podcast where we take a deep dive into America's shared consciousness, and I want to say up top, fuck Black Rifle Coffee. The Black Rifle Coffee Company advertised on our show. Not voiced by us, but somehow found its way onto our show. So this is where we tell you how we feel about Black Rifle Coffee. They're a terrible company. You should by no means patronize. Fuck Black Rifle Coffee. It's Monday, December. It's Monday, December 21st, 2020. There are 30 days until January 20th, 2021. There were zero new COVID cases in New Zealand on Thursday, zero deaths since late September. There were 13 new cases in all of Australia. So I had, this is mea culpa. I'd been saying, citing the overall Australia number as just for Victoria. I think Victoria is just all zeros across the board, all the way down these days. But across,
oh yeah, I've seen the people over there. All zeros.
All zeros. A bunch of zeros. but Australia only had 13 new. Continue to be zero deaths in the month of December. And in the U.S., there were 238,000 new cases, 3,293 deaths. Matt K gave me some comparisons. D-Day had 2,500 deaths. Pearl Harbor, 2,400. And the reaction to that was pretty, yeah. We paid quite a bit of attention when that happened, when those two things happened. And just globally, we have 17 million cases right now in the U.S. India is the next most with 9 million. Brazil with 7 million. We have nowhere near as many people as India. We have a fourth as many people as India. China's not even in the top 10. So just trying to keep things in perspective about how spectacularly our leadership fucked this thing right up. My name is Jack O'Brien, a.k.a. Podman Elevator. Spitting hot takes while I'm going down. Podding an elevator. Chugging my dew before I hit the ground. That is courtesy of the Ramen King. And also a make good for all the Aerosmith fans who are mad that I didn't know the that Back in the Saddle song by them. People are like, what? Yeah, and you've never heard Stairway either, I guess. But... Nah, just
yeah. What's that?
Not a big Deep Cuts Aerosmith fan, or even Shallow Cuts, probably. I'm thrilled to be joined, as always, by my co-host, Mr. Miles Gray.
Well, the weather outside's delightful, but the COVID rates are frightful, and since we've no place to go. Let us talk.
Hey.
And we can keep going on there. Johnny Davis on the Discord with just a wonderful holiday-inspired AKA to take us on into this mini break or whatever. I mean, we don't take breaks here at the Davis.
Love the added syllable in Discord. You turned it into Discord.
A Discord.
That is canon. We are thrilled to be joined in our third seat by the brilliant and talented Allison Rosen.
Hello. I always forget that there is singing that happens on this podcast. I don't know if the guests normally do, but just
it's called suppressed memories.
The Aerosmith theme pod in your living room, pod in your living room.
At a loss, but I'm sure
Jack,
that sounded
you're
like
get dragged
Aerosmith
by Aerosmith Twitter again.
Yeah, I have a question. What did Black Rifle Co. Coffee do?
They advertised on.
There's an ad, but the what started is they're like this right wing coffee company where they're like patriots drink this. It's like they like literally called it like tactical caffeination for like operators and not civilians. It's like this hyped up. Hyper militaristic right wing fucking take, but they got into some shit when Kyle Rittenhouse, the kid who shot those allegedly shot those people,
who Ricky Schroeder bailed out and had to his house, right?
Fuck Ricky Schroeder.
So that photo with Ricky Schroeder, he's wearing a Black Rifle coffee shirt. But then it got weird because then the owner of the company is like, oh, we're actually not aligned with that kid and we're not trying to bank. We don't support him or anything. And it's a tragedy. And then right wing Twitter came for Black Rifle Company coffee because they weren't racist enough. Either way, when you start putting on your like, I think one of them is called like Blue Lives Matter or Thin Blue Line coffee. Yeah. Or something. It's just like. Yeah. Utter trash. It's fucking the antithesis of everything we stand for. But this is what happens when you have a huge advertising operation that will dynamically insert things sometimes.
Dynamic
or they just
insertion.
Wanted a piece of the TDZ pie.
Yeah, exactly. They specifically.
And little did they know.
Yeah.
The listeners are already on a hair trigger, and no pun intended there. But like to hear something like that and be like, oh, fuck that. we're pretty trying to be as responsible as possible.
Well, I think they got their money worth. We've mentioned them. A number of times now.
And we said how when I drank the coffee, it gave me instant diarrhea.
Yeah,
and then all my grass died in my yard.
Yeah, we should mention it also tastes like shit. Not only is their politics bad, it tastes terrible, and they don't even have real caffeine. It's barely caffeinated.
It's all fake caffeine.
Yeah,
well,
bullshit.
When you said it, I was taking a sip of coffee, not that brand, but I wanted to do a spit take. If there was video, I would have. Yeah.
That would have been.
Talking to the king of spit takes over here.
That would have been amazing. You're just holding up a Black Rifle coffee mug to your mouth as we said.
Hey, Allison, why do you keep covering up your t-shirt? What kind of t-shirt is that? What's the logo on there?
I'm just a little chilly in here.
Yeah. I'm covering up with a Black Rifle coffee jacket. You're like, ah, shit.
It's a Confederate flag jacket.
All right. Allison,
yes.
We're going to get to know you better in a moment. We are adding to our words today. We're going to get to know you a little bit better in a moment. First, we're going to tell our listeners just a few of the things we're talking about. Guys, it's the last episode, last regular episode of the year 2020. We made it. We are going to be talking about things that happened over the past 3 days. Trump appointees describing the utter fucking up of the COVID response. We're going to talk about Dan Crenshaw smearing veterans. We're going to talk about the spike in overdose deaths, Mission Impossible set shutting down, all just equally bad news. And then Die Hard, the director of Die Hard, John McTiernan, came out with a video that talked about like the hidden social justice message in Die Hard. And I want to look at that because it made me reappreciate Die Hard for the first time in a little while. All of that, plenty more. But first, Allison, we like to ask our guest, what is something from your search history?
I searched what shape is giraffe poop? And the reason this came up, in addition to it just being a passion of mine, my podcast, so my podcast comes out twice a week. Monday is a one-on-one, Thursday is a panel show. And on the most recent panel show, one of my guests, Jackie Johnson, was talking about having just moved into a house that has a yard. And I was asking, does her dog love the yard? And she thought he would, but turns out he just goes out there and eats. Sorry, she. The dog is a she. She just goes out there and eats squirrel poop. Chooch.
Little
yes.
Chooch. Yes, we're familiar. Yes, we know. We're familiar with Jackie's dog in these parts. For
okay.
Sure, yes.
Well, apparently, all Chooch does in the yard is eat squirrel poop. And then I was saying, I don't think I could even identify squirrel poop in a poop lineup.
Yeah.
And so then we were going around and, you know, tackling the important issue of whether we could identify squirrel poop.
Poop ID.
And then I brought up, I believe giraffe poop is cube-shaped, and I don't know why I know this, but I feel like it's because my son is very into animals and has all these different zoo books, and there's like a book called What Do They Do With All That Poop? No, What Do They Do With All That Poop?
I was going to punch that up if you didn't.
Yeah. What do they do with all that poop? And I just feel like I have seen square giraffe poop, and then my producer, whom I love, was real slow on the Google, so I had to Google it. And anyway, it's sort of inconclusive. We decided it's
wombat
sort of
poop is cube shaped, I believe.
That yeah. Maybe I was that's on a, what I'm thinking of.
Yeah,
I was on a very specific podcast episode of Creature Feature talking about animal shit, and I remember that's I walked to it like, wait, hold on, there's cube shaped shit, and it's wombats. I know, yeah, I know I wombats definitely have cube-shaped shit, but I think, shout out to all the cube shitters out there in general.
Yeah,
I don't want to leave anyone out.
That's what I was thinking of then, because when I finally found a picture of giraffe poop, it was more like, we described it
old
as cushion
school.
Cut, if you know different diamond shapes. It's like rounded
oh,
oval.
Yeah. Oh, okay.
Love it.
Wait, cushion what does cut. Squirrel shit look like?
Apparently,
it's like pellety, right?
Apparently it looks a lot like rabbit poop. You'd think that's what I would have Googled, but I didn't.
Which, by the way, rabbit poop is tricks shaped, and they made rabbit the... Why did they do that?
Or did they do it on purpose?
Right, to be like...
Tricks are for kids. Eat shit, kids. Stop fucking with me. Eat my shit.
Right.
pretty good dunk by the tricks rabbit.
Speaking
but,
of fruity...
Wait, so...
Sorry, go ahead.
I'm just curious how you would know, like... You know, I've lived in areas where squirrels are frolicking around, and I've had pets, and I've never been able to be like, all my dog does is eat squirrel shit. And that's what I'm really confused about. Like, how are you witnessing that? I've never even been like, oh, there we go. I just stepped in more squirrel shit.
Miles, you should have been on this episode. That's what I was saying.
Right.
That's what I was saying. How do you know? How do you know it's not rabbit poop? And are you seeing Chooch swallow it? Are you just seeing her play with it? What's going on? I need eight episode podcast series looking into this true crime of Chooch eating squirrel poo.
I'm glad we have another fellow truth seeker on the show today, because I'm not accepting this description from Jackie. And when she is on this show again, I will press her for more answers.
Thank
about
you.
This.
Thank you. Let's take this across all the podcasts in America.
Yeah.
It's interesting. Exactly. I always assumed the circular shape was that way because it has the smallest like surface area to volume ratio, like that it was like covering it up so it wouldn't smell as much, so like predators couldn't hunt them. But I guess
oh my god, we got a scientist on our hands.
Well, I guess that's not even remotely true. It might actually have the worst volume to surface area ratio. I don't know. I just Googled it, and it's like some other shape that I can't even pronounce. The icosahedron has the lowest surface area to volume ratio. So
what does it look like?
It looks, I don't know.
Icosahedron.
Icosahedron.
How many sides is that?
But I assume because like spherical ice cubes, isn't that the whole idea behind them, is that they don't melt as much because they have lower surface area?
I just thought it was a cool thing from a Pinterest board.
And I just thought it was a way to sell more ice cube trays.
Right. Yeah. Could be all those. So
I mean, it makes sense because I feel like it got big in Japan when like some bartender was like hand cutting spheres of ice, mm-hmm. and like it's the only way to like not water down your scotch. But
okay, the sphere has the best ratio, I think, and then icosahedron is the one with the second best, 20 sides because it has 20. Anyways, this has been...
Oh, so you mean a D&D die you would cast.
Right, exactly. How come more animals aren't shitting out D&D die?
But is there actually any animal that does that?
No, there needs to be. I mean, I do when I've had a very specific combination of fiber and Cheetos. Yeah.
Oh, it's just Cheetos. I forgot.
Yeah, you're very familiar with all my.
Sorry, yeah,
with
you know,
Jack's bowels.
We got to know each other. Yeah, we know. That's how people are like, well, how do you guys do it? You know, Nikki Glaser was on, and before I'm like, the chemistry. I'm like, look, I know we know what each other's shits look like. That's how we keep it tight on this show.
Yeah, that's it's the part of the doc, every day's doc that we only share with each other is just a history of bowel movements and
quick snap
diet.
Shot.
Quick snap.
I'm normal. All right.
Then I think you made a mistake because when I got a link to the document, there were pictures at the beginning and I just didn't know what that was about.
Well, consider that you've entered the circle of trust.
Thank you very much. I do remember a good friend years ago, a good friend of mine was in his bathroom. And through the door, he yelled, I wish you were a guy so that I could invite you in here to take a look at this. And that's like one of those weird things that I think about so frequently. Like, is that a thing that guys do often?
So I have
I'm not going to lie.
I have to tell a really gross story right now. This is a very scatological beginning to this episode. But so my dad, one of eight, grew up very, you know, whatever, you know, they were very check to check. It was like in a very small apartment in inner city Philadelphia. And him and his brother had a competition where they would save giant shits in a in a shoebox and like,
oh my shit, God,
and show it to each other.
That's amazing.
And I think it was like, yo, look how much I ate, fool. like the, but yeah, I guess it's a thing with more than just like that. I was so desperate to have like that affirmed that they weren't the only humans who did that, that the second you talked about one human doing that, I was like, okay, I gotta let this off my chest.
You just upped the game.
Yeah.
She just said, hey, I wish you could talk about it. You're like, okay, so they were shitting the shoebox.
Yeah, that's what I was going to say, Jack. I want to, I want you to feel seen and heard. But to me, there's
that's
something
next level.
Different between my friend wanting me to come into the bathroom and look at his toilet present versus a shoebox. Like, once you take it out of water, that's a whole different animal.
I agree. I can only imagine how bad it smelled.
And it's many questions. I don't know that you know the answer, but these are things that you could find out. One shoebox, or do they have multiple shoeboxes? And how are they even getting it out of the toilet? Were they using like the kind of net that you like get a goldfish out of? Tank?
Do you clean it? Clean the box every time? Is it a new box?
Didn't ask more follow-up questions is... I don't know what's wrong with me that I wasn't like, wait, what?
You weren't ready.
But I think I was like so young that it was just like, yeah, okay, that sounds like Uncle Barry.
His name is Barry. You gotta give it the Maddow treatment. Yeah. Like how Maddow would open an episode of her show and be like, a shoebox, a simple thing. But what's really a shoe? What is really contained? And then you're like, wait, this is about some people shitting in a box? But I was gonna say, before Jack completely scorched the earth with his anecdote, I do have a... There is a. I know somebody
Look, I'm not gonna lie. Yes, I have a text thread where we send shit pictures.
Wait, for real?
Do you really?
I don't send them. My one friend does it as a bit, and he always acts. The bit is always he treats it like an art composition where he says what his motivation was.
Wow.
And what the process was, and then I always respond with a scathing art critique of the actual the dump he took. It's really stupid.
And
I don't even know why I just said that out loud, but that's some insight into
we have a bunch of, I think we have a bunch of TDZ ads that are going to run on the radio during Christmas break. And so there's going to be a bunch of new people coming to the show, and this is going to be the most recent full episode they hear. It's us opening up with 20 minutes on people, on us just sharing pictures of poop and poop.
I am, but this is America's shared consciousness, and I defy a listener to say they don't know anything about this, yes, or if not their lives hasn't intersected with poo talk culture.
Yeah.
Okay, it's around, and it's funny because I was a friend of mine who has a really young son who's like 3 or 4 had like a play date, and one of the, like her son's potty trained, but her friend's son isn't. So when he went to use like the bathroom, like his friend came too because he's like, oh, I'm not potty trained. And they both just watched him take a dump like up close. Like they're both like, he was pooping and his friend was like, okay, I see what you're doing here. Okay, that's cool. Yeah. And I was like, you know what? This is since the times of the ancients. Mm-hmm. You know, this is just who we are.
How old are your kids, Allison?
They're going to be 4 and 2 in February. They both have February birthdays.
Yeah,
so.
we're right around the same spot. And yeah, that's a whole thing. The kids like don't want to be lonely when it's happening. You know, mm-hmm. they feel like they're missing out if you just like shut them out in a room by themselves. So like that's a whole thing you have to get your mind around. And I do love the
some
idea
people just...
the unpotty trained kid breaking it down like game tape, being like, oh, damn.
Yeah.
Wow.
Ooh.
Or the one who is potty trained, he's like, see, this is what you got to do. A box is going to hit right there. Ah! See, and that's the difference, man.
Yeah.
You got to start doing that rather than in your pants, man, and then you will get a treat.
Oh, man.
Yeah, there's a definite fascination with it. My son has come in and said to me, Mommy, I want to watch you use this. Like, pointed to the toilet.
Right.
It's a whole new thing for them.
Yeah.
It's
very interesting.
Because, like, those are, like, sort of, like, benchmarks of,
totally.
Like, growth. You know
yeah.
what I mean? It's like, now I'm a toilet user.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? So now I'm, like, and I remember, and this probably goes, and I probably have said this before, I remember when I was 6 years old, my dad got a camcorder, like, you know, it was, like, 1980 or 90, basically, he got a camcorder, and the first thing that shot on it is me filming my own shit that Christmas morning. I took the camera and I'm zooming. It's a slow fucking push in on a little 6-year-old turd.
Yo,
and I like
healthy.
That's just like family lore.
It's healthy. Yeah. It's healthy.
And now you're a poo critic on that thread.
Now I'm a poo critic. Yeah,
you went
exactly.
from filmmaker to critic.
Exactly.
All right, guys, let's take a quick break and we'll come back. Allison, talk about
break.
Underrated and overrated.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zai Gang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets. if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com. And we're back. And Allison, we like to ask our guests, what is something you think is underrated?
I don't know if this is like underrated for everyone, but for me, I had underrated the value lately of like what I would call comfort food TV, because my husband and I have been watching all these prestige TV shows, which they're good and I enjoyed them. However, we recently got sucked back into Vanderpump Rules. I was very into Vanderpump Rules a few years ago. I couldn't stop talking about it. And somehow I made every podcast appearance I was on about it, which I feel like now I'm doing it about poop. But and then I just sort of fell off and I didn't keep up with it. And then we were watching Real Housewives of Salt Lake City, and I was sort of getting back into the Bravo world. And we decided, let's just watch the most recent episode of Vanderpump Rules, even though we weren't caught up. And it is like hanging out with old friends. It's so pathetic how comforted we feel. The fact that we can just dive in, we don't need, you know, we already know what they're like. It like every night now we watch multiple episodes. I don't know that I feel good. No, I don't feel bad about it though. It's like exactly what I needed.
Yeah.
No need to feel bad.
Yeah. It's good. It's great. I wish I had done it sooner, because I've been sort of like looking for something to be excited about TV wise. And now I'm excited about catching up with my friends on Vanderpump every night.
Yeah. That's like me and the ladies of Salt Lake City.
Yes.
I just can't believe what I'm seeing every week.
Who's your favorite lady and who's your least favorite? Because I ranked them early on.
I hate Mary. I can't stand Mary. Her self-loathing is just despicable. That whole thing of like, when I see black people at a convenience store, I'll go to another convenience store. I'm like, what?
That's what Jen said.
And
you're
why
black.
Are you saying this in front of a group of white women? Like, it was like this performative like self-hatred that really rubbed me the wrong way. Mm-hmm. And then Anna started sending me subreddit posts about how she's a full-on scammer who says she's a god and like forces parishioners at her church just to give her all this money. So more than like who I like, I just know Mary rubs me the absolute wrong way. But I will watch, because that's part of the thing. You know, because sometimes I'm like, I need something to get angry at.
Yeah, I know. That's the joy of it. Yeah.
She is the one who is married to her grandfather.
Her step-grandfather.
Her step-grandfather. And also accused someone of smelling like hospital. Is that right?
Yes. And it just, the syntax of that bothers me. Is that how you say it? Like, you smell like hospital. You smell like a hospital or the hospital.
Well, it's very British.
That's like how babies talk.
Right. Well, the British also refer to it as hospital instead of the hospital or a hospital.
Oh, you smell like sick.
Right.
Do I? I don't know this thing. It's a mess and a half. But it's also interesting because like these people are, there's also this layer on top of like vapid Real Housewives culture that's present in all shows. Then you have like the, you know, LDS Mormon church layer on top of it that's like pushing and pulling the cast members in certain directions. So it's a lot to take.
What I didn't realize is that they're all like, there are, according to the show, there are a lot of Mormons who drink. Like, I've only known in real life, I've only known Mormons who don't, who are like pretty, you know, as far as I can tell, devout and follow the rules. And like, I've never known a Mormon in real life who drinks. But
oh man, the Jack Mormon community. That's what they're called, Jack Mormons.
But is that like ex-Mormon or does that just mean
no, it just means like drunk Mormons who are grew up Mormon.
That sounds cool.
Stay a Mormon.
Like a Jack Mormon?
Yeah, exactly. New Jack Mormon. It's like New Jack Mormon. It might not be called that anymore, but like when I lived in Dayton, a bunch of our best friends were Mormon, and that was the thing back in the 90s that they referred to it as.
I've also heard of a Nomo Momo, which is someone who's no longer a Mormon.
Nomo Momo.
Yeah.
Oh, wow.
No more Mormon.
Nice. Oh, got it. Not super fans of the Dodgers pitcher Hideo Nomo. Yeah.
But also that.
they very small, really small group.
Huge overlap.
I mean, that windup, it was something else. It was
that Venn diagram is an exact circle. I'm so tired of that meme.
Allison, what is something you think is overrated?
Overrated. And this is controversial. It's controversial even for me to say it. But of late, I have felt that sleeping in is a little bit overrated because I have children. I do not get to sleep in very much. However, my mother-in-law is here and she wakes up early and she loves to take care of the kids, or we tell ourselves that. So my husband and I have been sleeping in this week, there's days where I slept until like past 11. I mean, it is
hell
gross.
Yeah.
Woo! And I wake up,
girl,
loving like, it.
Like, you're more coming to than waking up.
Yeah.
You're
like, where is it?
Catherine O'Hara in Home Alone.
And I, even though it feels like, oh, I needed that, like I need, I've been needing that for the last 5 years, I also, for the rest of the day, feel out of it and irresponsible and gross. It's like I can't shake off the gross feeling of I woke up.
Oh, no.
Yeah, maybe
be
I just need to.
Be kind to yourself, Allison. Be kinder to
but
us.
I
what
know
you
what
have
you're
to do. You know, just
I have
okay.
that same thing, like where I feel like if I wake up too late or if I get too much sleep, I'm like groggy the next day. And also, like, I can't tell if it's just self, like me being aware that I got a lot of sleep and feeling bad. It also happens with showering. Like, I have this, like, kind of loose theory that if I don't,
if shower,
don't shower,
you'll
like,
never get sick.
Actually, physical like sleep left over on my body because like I'm always more tired if I don't shower. And
I
I'm
take
like,
it
that
back
can't
when I called
just
you a scientist.
Be... That can't just be like all mental, but I think it is. I think it's all mental.
I'm just glad we're doing this on Zoom because it was getting ripe in the studio.
Like,
I'm telling you,
that's my
secret.
Over on a
well, no, I'm saying I need to shower every morning if I want to be like fully awake.
Right?
Yeah.
Yeah. I get like whenever I felt bad about sleeping in, it's because it's so late. I'm like, oh man, I only have like a few hours of like a day left before like I'm about to shift my whole sleep cycle into the night. Where I'm like,
well see, I think that's what it is because when I wake up super late, I'm aware that I needed sleep, and the better way to get it would have been to go to bed early instead of staying up till 2 watching Vanderpump. It's a whole constellation
way,
of
self-care, no matter how you cut it, though.
No, it's good. I'm not knocking it, and in no way do I want
sure.
to give it up. I'm just saying I have found that it's like a little overrated for me personally.
Yeah,
but I can't give it up.
I just pray for the ability to sleep like I did when I was like in puberty or like going through puberty or high school. Like when my body was like, this is when you're growing and you will just lie dormant and like I never, to this day, even like with a terrible hangover or something, have slept like as solidly for such a long time than I did back then. You know, so.
Do you not sleep well now?
No, I sleep well now, but like even I wake up pretty normally. Like my rhythms are like I'm up. Even if I sleep late, like I'm just up and I can't do the thing where I'm like, well, I went to sleep later. I'm really tired. Maybe I get a couple hours. Just can't. It's just that adult shit. Adult body.
I hear that.
Well, speaking of adult shit, let's get back to poop. So my theory on the spherical poop, as I've been thinking about it, skittish, all the animals that have spherical poop are skittish. Like you got your deers, your rabbits, your squirrels. So I think it really, there is something to that. Poop scientists, get at me. All right.
So you want courage shapes like a fist or a sword.
Well, like humans, there's no design to it because we're not scared. Same with dogs, right? They're predators.
No, you know,
predators,
I had a homegirl who used to do rabbit poops.
Right. I mean, we've all been.
I've been a homegirl who's done rabbit poops.
Yeah, I've been that homegirl as well. okay. But it's not. But it's not like biologically decreed that we do that. Whereas,
no.
Right. Yeah. Sure. Sure. Log it up, Kenny Loggins.
Yeah. It's interesting. What other animals have such wide range of poop shapes?
Yeah, I think it's dogs. Us and dogs have evolved to be part of our like kind of little ecosystem. So
yeah, I need to see some coyote shit.
They're actually copying our style, our shit style.
Right. Like bear shit is
shaming my dog. I'm like, yo, get your own swag, bro.
I feel like bear shit is similarly amorphous. So it's like the stuff that needs to be scared needs to keep it in tight little spheres so that like there's little surface area so the scent isn't going out there so that they can be tracked is my my theory. All right. Other poop stuff. No, let's talk about these Trump appointees who came out towards the end of last week and just, you know, said that basically it had been a complete utter fucking up of the COVID response while they were working in the CDC. They specifically said that they were being encouraged by members of the Trump administration to pursue herd immunity, which is basically like let everybody get it except the people who it is actively killing, and was completely inadvisable and just a confusing of the approach that has left us in the condition we're in, where the U.S. and Brazil are far and away the most fucked up examples of how this can be exacerbated.
Right now, and I read that in LA, 1 in 20 residents are positive.
Right, I think LA, it's 1 in 80 confirmed, and 1 in 20, like probably just haven't been tested.
And this is sorry, this is like a tangent. We'll go back to that story you were talking about. But I remember at the very beginning, New York, it was like terrible in New York, and everyone was kind of applauding California. And the theory was, well, in California, you know, in New York, everyone's on top of each other, so they can't socially distance. Whereas, like, in California, we're really doing it right. We're spread out, da da da. But now LA is the epicenter. What happened? I guess we opened too fast. Is that why it's so bad here?
Yeah.
It's a combination. And I think, yeah, the time of being in the pandemic, like, people are getting just sick of it at like more of like the emotional toll of like trying to lock down and be responsible. Like people are reaching that breaking point while the infection rates are going up. And I think they're meeting at an awful time. And on top of it, yeah, like we're not doing what we should be doing in any sense.
And apparently
curbing things.
Apparently these numbers right now are not even reflecting Thanksgiving yet. So it's going to get worse, like way worse before it gets better.
Yeah, and Christmas.
Anyway, it's around now it's going to hit,
My favorite aspect of all the revelations in the CDC was there was an advisor to the HHS who tried to get the CDC to downplay something in their morbidity and mortality weekly report, which is like this really important report that they put out. So they were trying to like censor something. And in the email, the guy was explaining this, and it was a longer quote, but he said something like, I'll just focus on my favorite part. He spelled president.
Hell yeah.
President.
Oh, no, I see what it is. This is designed to hurt this president for their reasons, which I am not interested in.
Yes.
Which it just feels like a trolling Twitter response.
Yeah. The only people who were in favor of the herd immunity theory were people who were trying to open the economy, which was the Trump administration, because their theory of the case was this is all an attempt to hurt the economy so that he loses because the entire universe revolves around them. And I think just similarly, I've heard this overall sort of model of the globe as like starting in Japan and moving westward. You go from a more like collectivist view of the world, just in terms of like traditional like values, to and then like ending in Los Angeles is like the most individualistic like view of the world. And I feel like that probably plays into some of why the U.S. is so bad, and also why L.A. is now the epicenter, is like, even after we now know like what's so bad about like or how the virus operates, we're still willing to, you know, it's more about us as Angelenos, as Californians, than it is about like the reality. It's more, you know, I think Californians tend to be more up their own ass than probably the rest of the world.
Yeah, the people that move here, honestly, I think that's the problem. You know, people who are from here, though, you know, I think we're the salt, we're the real Americans who get it. It's all the other people.
LA is more than any place I've ever lived, like composed of people who are like, yes, that is my Shangri-La. That is where I will go to actualize myself.
Escape the torment of my high school.
Right.
And I will make it there and prove to them I am not that person. Right. It's like, thank you. Very specific. And what about us who lived here and also it sucked, but we're still here. But yeah, I think with also the, like you're saying, especially LA, like New York, you know, like you're saying, you're on top of each other. There's a sense of your community, whether you like it or not in New York. Like L.A., you're in your car. You're just, you're fucking closed the fuck off. And I think it's really easy. The weather, too, plays a huge part where it's almost like, well, the weather's nice. How could, like, there's all these things that I think act on people's subconsciousness that just are force multipliers for how bad we're screwing things up. And on top of it, like, the communication is absolute dog shit, whether it's coming from the county or the state. It's like half the time I'm seeking it out through news articles more than like it passively coming to me because they're trying to inform the residents of what's happening. Mm.
Yeah. How do you guys feel about businesses that are defying the stay-at-home order or the shutdown order and like still, you know, like there's a restaurant, I'm in Burbank, and there's a guy in Burbank who's making news right now because he refuses to shut down his restaurant because my visceral response is, fuck you. You are selfish and you're endangering people. But then it's like, you know, his argument is like, look, this is, you know, my whole life has been about building this business. It's all I have. And I've got 100% bills and I'm making, you know, 10%. If I just do to-go orders, I'm making 10% profit. Not profit. I'm like earning 10% of what I normally make and da-da-da. And like he's going to lose his business and lose everything.
Yeah.
I have compassion, but I still feel like it doesn't make it okay to endanger people. At the same time, like obviously I feel the government should pay people to stay home. That's the answer.
Right.
That's
right. No, that's exactly what it is. Like it's so easy to understand that impulse of someone who's like, "Well, how the fuck, so you want me to just lay down and die basically as a business with no help? Like I can't do that."
Yeah, my one issue is that usually the people who are like, fuck the government stay home order they're rarely the type of people who are like, pay me to stay home. They're more the people who are like, you can't tell me what to do. This is America.
Yeah.
And that I think is a fundamental misunderstanding of the problem. But
the conversation needs to shift from we need to be able to make money to it should be the government needs to be paying us. The government needs to be sorting out my bills. But everyone's so fucking OD'd on the bootstrap shit that even in this situation, it's like, I got to do this. And yes, like you're saying, endanger other people, their own employees in the midst of all of this. When you think like, oh, y'all are so close to the socialism part of it, to like understanding like what's fair, what's equitable, what is actually necessary, and can acknowledge like, yeah, that's true. Don't worry, though, that you can't work because the government is here to take from people who, you know, tax them and the money's there to subsidize things. And geez, when you look at the countries that are like have been subsidizing lost wages for people, it's so fucked up to look at like how other countries are handling it. And here it's purely like, I don't know, just burn up upon reentry. That's sort of the strategy.
Yeah.
I know that we like people understand that like we the number of cases that we've had in this country is so much more than other countries. But just like in doing that opening that I've been doing for the past week of just the number of cases, number of deaths compared to other countries. And then like I added the context of like doing research into like the portion of like how much smaller we are than China and India and like how we're so comparable to other countries. It's just like anybody who is not viewing this as a stress test of like, okay, this version of running a country is not working like that. You have to be burying your head in the ground. Like, these values do not function.
They're not values. I mean, or they are. They're just in the completely wrong direction.
I was thinking about that today. And this is a really, like, it sounds snobby and elitist, maybe, but it's like, this country is so fucking stupid.
Yes.
Yeah.
Sorry.
Well, we're just so corrupted, or, I mean, you know, collectively, the culture is just corrupted by greed and consumption. And that's those are like the gods of this country. It's
but
like
also
how much
anti-science
can you
and paranoia and.
And I think a lot of those are born out of like this singular focus to just create value, you know, create as much shareholder value to accumulate as much bullshit as possible. So if anything runs counter to that and it's an obstacle, then fuck science. If science is getting in the way of making money, then fuck science. If
science
if
increasingly
dying,
runs counter to the market.
If poor people are getting in the way of making money, then fuck poor people. Like it's a very simple equation. You just have to put like, is it in the way of making money? Then chances are that thing gets fucked and completely demolished in the pursuit of making money. And that I don't know, like you'd think we've experienced enough pain collectively as a nation to begin to have a reckoning with that. But I think it's just so it's fundamentally the foundation that the entire country's built upon. It's like being like, are our colors red, white and blue? Yeah. And people are like, well, what do you mean?
Right. I mean, you have like individual people defending their own right to be exploited. Like it is my American God-given right to be completely exploited by this system. And it's like, I don't know how you break through to someone who feels that way.
Yeah. Yeah. How do you break through to the guy who has like Trump tattoos on his arm and is saying like with his dying breaths, dying from COVID is like Trump 2020, you know, as he was like, he started out being like plandemic, this is all made up. Is dying of COVID and is still with his dying breath being like Trump 2020. Like that's, and there were many people like that. Let's talk Dan Crenshaw real quick, just because I feel like a lot of the news cycle about him has gotten overtaken with his SNL shit, his, you know, embarrassing
Avengers
memes,
trailer,
Avengers, false valor. He's like trying to pass himself off as an Avenger. But the reality of who this dude is recently came up as basically there was a VA investigation. A veteran alleged that she was sexually assaulted at a VA facility, and the VA secretary, Robert Wilkie, was just straight away trying to smear her, and Crenshaw like was with him on that and like basically approached him and said that he knew of her from serving together and that she was known for making up allegations, which to put that in perspective, read any account of what it's like to be a woman in the modern military. It makes like the workplace from Mad Men seem like wildly progressive. Like to this day, it is wild. Like the shit that they are still getting away with. And letting themselves and just the standards they hold themselves to. And this asshole is like part of that problem. And he's the guy who's, you know, out here using the fact that he was a veteran to big up himself. And meanwhile, he's smearing actual veterans who have actual problems and are trying to fix systemic issues with the military. So just a real piece of shit through and through.
And being honest enough to want to create change for people after them to not to prevent these things from happening. And then Dan Crenshaw is just like, nah, like that's what you're using your time for, is just to just smear someone who's trying to do good because you're playing on whatever side of this argument.
Yeah.
And they were saying it's going to make it worse for more women who want to come forward, seeing how this was handled and seeing how there will, you know, they've shut down. There won't be an investigation or they've shut it down. She claimed that the guy rammed his lower body into hers and said, "You look like you could use a good time."
Right.
Isn't that so gross?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, yeah, that documentary, I don't know. Have you seen The Invisible War?
Mm-mm.
That was, I think I saw it on HBO. It's like a Kirby Dick documentary, just talking about, you know, the cult, or, you know, rape culture and how prevalent assaults and things are in the military. And it's really, it's shocking because it's a problem that's so out in the open and known, but then there is also this culture of fear around being able to speak up about it and to be on the side of like perpetuating or protect that, you know, the ongoing culture of assault in the military is just fucked up. And,
yeah. And just
should be expected from someone like Dan Crenshaw, who's just shown himself to have no character at all, aside from wanting to play a literal fucking Marvel character.
Right. Yeah. Watch The Invisible War instead of a Marvel movie. All right. Let's take a quick break and we'll be right back.
You like to watch new stuff, right, Zygang? I know I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new. Because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump. Join Lisa and her hand-selected staff at Chateau Rosabelle, a glamorous estate in the French countryside, as they live, work, and play together 24/7. Vanderpump Villa is where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. And don't miss the new season of The Kardashians, starring The Kardashians, of course. And season 5 promises new horizons for the entire Kardashian clan. And if you're looking for steamy streams, check out Grand Cayman Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set on the tropical Caribbean island of Grand Cayman, where the rich come to play. But be warned, it's a small island. And secrets don't stay secret for long. So come check out what's new on Hulu this month. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Signing up and playing is so easy. Simply sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you can get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matter more than ever. Place your moneyline, prop, and parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. That's right, up to $1,500. Again, sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park. That's 1-800-GAMBLER.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
Hey, here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon, just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Visible is the wireless company that makes wireless visible. No hidden fees, no really. Save on wireless with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. You don't need more than one line of wireless to save. Just switch to Visible at Visible.com. Save on wireless without the hassle. Switch to Visible today and save at Visible.com. monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit visible.com. And we're back. Let's talk about Mission Impossible. We've been tracking Tom Cruise's flip outs on the on the trending episodes past at the end of last week, but apparently, yeah, he's been just wiling, I believe it's called, in academic circles. And so they have shut down production on the Mission Impossible movie. And it's not because of any COVID like misbehavior. It is because he got a sense. He saw himself in the mirror of these rants and was like, oh, maybe old Tommy needs a break.
Yeah, he's apparently Friday was like the last day of shooting. And the plan is for him to go to Miami to be with his DJ extraordinaire son, Connor.
Yeah,
to fucking, you know, hang out for the holidays or something. But it's just very, they're not saying it's obviously not from anything to do with COVID, but there's no real explanation why he's doing that. But I think a lot of people are like, yeah, maybe he saw a little bit of cringe from that leaked rant. The other thing that's really interesting is on TMZ, because they're just the messiest over there. They were pointing out that the mask that Tom Cruise is always being pictured in on the set is one that the CDC is like, yo, don't fucking wear those valved masks. Those are actually worse because like they're designed to release a bunch of air as you exhale very quickly. So
it only
protects
you.
Yeah, you're just jet shooting out your droplets out the sides of that thing. And they're like, yeah, this is a quote, this type of mask may not prevent you from spreading COVID-19 to others. The hole in the material may allow your respiratory droplets to escape and reach others.
Yeah, it's more for people like fighting forest fires and, you know, preventing them from inhaling dangerous things. But it has no benefit if you're trying to prevent the spread of disease because everything that you're exhaling is getting out there. But it does protect you, like Allison said.
Yeah.
So that's what's important.
I think it's a very appropriate mask given the circumstances. It's like the rich guy wears the mask that's like, well, fuck y'all. Like literally in that I don't trust you, so I'm wearing this. And also I don't give a fuck what happens to you based on what I'm exhaling. So cool.
I saw a lot of debate about his rant. Like, I saw a lot of people defending it and relating to it because they also have been very frustrated in their workplaces with people not doing what they're supposed to protocol-wise. But then I saw people saying that, well, just first of all, coming after Tom Cruise because he's like the face of Scientology, which is a pretty, problematic and corrupt organization. And criminal, but then also saying that he was, and this is kind of my emotional reaction to his rant, was like, you are taking it too far and you're just excoriating an employee and kind of emotionally abusing them.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Take it out on the corporations that are putting you in that position, not the like small time workers who work for you. Like, that's not on them. That is a systemic issue. And the fact that you are this hyped up and stressed out and from talking to the insurance companies and the studios means that you should have a different relationship to those insurance companies and those studios because you're externalizing their inherent, like, treat everybody like pawns that we're moving around to create value kind of worldview and treating them like they're inhuman. Like, that there's never an excuse to talk to people like that.
But also he's a couch jumper, so I feel like he's got this potential to be sort of manic like this anyway.
Oh, for sure.
We like where he's coming from in that, like, people need to act out of what's in the best interest for others given the situation. But yeah, in this context, it's like, let's be real. So many of these things that they're saying are essential are not essential. And it's tough, like, when, you know, you have people, like, I have family who works in production. They're going to cruise in the new COVID age where there's, like, the zones and the testing and things like that. But
That's all because the studios can't shut off the spigot of like the, the of the revenue flowing, and all of it sort of like leads to like, we could just handle this like an actual pandemic, and where we have to say, I know we're used to the slog and the grind of like this economy that we're in, but we actually have to stop it, and we have to start refunneling funds in the right directions to A, keep, you know, keep everyone safe. But that's the thing, we're just not able to get fundamentally. Like, it's just like, well, but if some people are like really good about it, can they go and still make money for people? And like, you know, there's reports on how some hospitals are like, there's a hospital in California that's being used as a set when it can be when it can actually be used as a fucking hospital.
Yeah. But so, what's going to help more people? Joyous entertainment or, you know, medicine? Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, this, you know, direct-to-TV holiday film that takes place in a whimsical hospital or, you know, ICU beds. But sure.
All right, let's talk about Die Hard, the subject that I'm sure you guys have all been waiting to talk about.
Yeah, so this is a new thing you're saying?
Well, so our writer JM pointed out that... you know, he's written, he actually wrote a piece back when we were at Cracked about how not just Die Hard is a Christmas movie, but how it's kind of like a socialist Christmas movie. And John McTiernan came out, the director, and basically just validated everything JM was talking about, like word for word, in a pretty cool way. So basically he said that he, when it came to him, the script was... the terrorists were leftist terrorists, and like John McClane was just, you know, authority. He represented authority and was like a by the books cop, or like a cop who became a bug in the ointment because he happened to be there. And he changed it so that they were, you know, thieves who were motivated by capitalism. They were robbing people who, like, all the authority figures are. Who work at the company are these like corporate empty suits who are like useless. The head of the company,
Bubby.
Ellis. But even the head of the company, dies rather than giving up a password like to that would allow his company to be like robbed. I've always been like, what is he doing? And the point is, you're supposed to be like that. He's dying for a ridiculous cause, which is like, this runaway, what McTiernan calls unregulated cowboy capitalism. And he said he was actually like, he had been sent the script like seven times and kept telling Joel Silver no. And then he was watching It's a Wonderful Life, specifically the Potterville scene, which he says is the clearest demonstration of and criticism of runaway unregulated cowboy capitalism in movies. And that's what inspired him. He also talks about how these paintings in the Louvre were like how he was thinking about it, how like they would, these artists would paint like these nobles or like these monarchs. And you would actually see like some small detail that they actually put all their artistry into, because like that was where they could just get their release and like do the thing they wanted to. Because the king would have very specific ideas about how they wanted to be portrayed. And so he's basically saying that by making a Christmas movie, It's a Wonderful Life and Die Hard can sneak in these sort of revolutionary anti-capitalist ideas. And yeah, just hearing him lay it out, it's like a 12-minute YouTube video, but it's really, it's really cool. He talks about how the villains are Reaganomics personified, in that like Gruber says, I'm an exceptional thief. Reagan would always use the word exceptional about like calling America exceptional, an exceptional nation. Every rich guy or bureaucrat is an idiot. And like the people who are actually, you know, doing good in the movie are John McClane, who JM wrote about how Holly, his ex-wife, is like sort of represents America, and she's being wooed over to this like form of 80s capitalism, like hard charging corporate bullshit. And like they give her the gift of the watch, and like she has this office. But then McClane is like this more blue collar cop, obviously, but he has never ridden in a limousine. And like him, Argyle, and Al Powell are like the only kind of good people in the movie, and then Holly kind of comes over to their side at the end.
Huh. I love this reading of it. I have a question. Okay, I'm going to say something which is going to change how everyone feels about me, I fear. Here it goes. I haven't seen Die Hard.
That's okay.
Okay.
No, thank you.
You've seen The Rock, though, right?
No. What a safe
space. Oh, my God.
What a safe space is this?
Cut the mics. Cut the mics.
Question. But this reading of it, like the average, would anyone, aside from JM, like, how apparent is this to someone watching it?
So this was my favorite movie when I was 8, Die Hard. And I'm realizing the values did bleed through a little bit, and just sort of the emptiness of the capitalist enterprise, the emptiness of the thieves, just, you know, like all these people are being killed for these bonds that are just pieces of paper that are snowing down like from the building like at the end and are just like meaningless, like, and yeah, you learn to think of at least the leadership in the FBI and you know, and corporate America as just complete empty idiots.
Hmm. Should I see it?
Oh, I mean, at least so I can. Yeah. I think it's still one of my 5 favorite movies.
And it's like a good sort of Christmas film. You know, it's like one of those Christmas films. It's like, is it a Christmas film? And you're like, yeah, it's actually, I'll call it a Christmas film.
I feel like recently this idea that it's a Christmas film has caught on.
Yeah.
Doesn't it feel very recent?
It's been a like online conversation for a while. Like it was like a meme. Like my favorite Christmas movie is Die Hard. Was like a meme that like was sort of a cool thing to say on Reddit decades ago, and then now it's like crossed over into the mainstream and is like the conversation that people are, you know, that morning newscasters would like have with each other now, I feel like.
What will they think of next? Say.
I'll tell you what my favorite movie is, Sally. It's Die Hard.
What? That's not a Christmas movie.
I know, but I love the machine guns. I got to tell you, it's my favorite Christmas movie.
Machine guns. What will they think of next?
That she just says, what will they think of next? Over and over. Yeah, but I do love the idea of the king losing control of the content being like a thing that you can track throughout history. And like the Our King is obviously this vast, you know, network of values around consumer capitalism, and so being able to sneak a critique of that into a movie that directly appeals to people who were the very core of those values. You know, the 80s was all about like Stallone going to Vietnam and re-winning the Vietnam War,
changing history.
Getting all those POWs back from the camps where they were still totally being held by the Vietnamese government. And you know, Schwarzenegger, that was like the authoritarian ideology of America from the 80s, sort of personified in movies. And then they created this action movie where it's like sarcastic blue collar cop who like thinks all the, you know, Reaganism is ridiculous.
Yeah, which is funny because then when he works with like Schwarzenegger again, it's Last Action Hero.
Yeah.
And it's like a very like self-aware thing. And he's almost like, look, I know we worked together on Predator. He's like, but I got some, let's like lean into this Schwarzenegger thing a little bit more.
Yeah.
Sorry. All right. McTiernan's got his eye out. Okay. All right.
Yeah. Anyways. Allison, it's been a pleasure having you. Sorry for rambling about action movies for the last 10 minutes, but
it's okay. My mind just went to a place where it had poop in shoe boxes.
Nice.
No, it's good. Yeah. I need to see the magical land. Yeah. I need to see Die Hard. I need to catch up. I think my favorite movie when I was 8 was probably Short Circuit.
Ah.
Oh.
That was up there for me, for sure.
Yeah, that was a good one.
It was also like the first hard R-rated movie that I had seen, and I think it just like blew my little mind. I was like, "Whoa!" So
I
don't much.
I think mine was Batteries Not Included. Oh, yeah. I think was mine.
Yeah.
Before Short Circuit, because I was like, "Oh, little robots." When I was a kid, I was like, "I like
Johnny Five."
Yeah.
Yeah, and then you're like, are these characters offensive? Well, look, man, let's... It was the 80s, man. We were trying to figure it out.
Yeah, yeah. Allison, where can people find you, follow you, hear you, all that good stuff?
Yes, please listen to my podcast, Allison Rosen Is Your New Best Friend, and my parenting-ish, and I say ish because you don't need to have kids to listen to it. I say like half of our listeners don't. My parenting podcast that I do with Greg Fitzsimmons, it's called Childish. Follow me on social media at Allison Rosen, A-L-I-S-O-N-R-O-S-E-N. I'm also on Patreon, I'm on Cameo, and I'm on YouTube, youtube.com/AllisonRosen.
Awesome. And is there a tweet or some of the work of social media you've been enjoying?
Oh, yes. Let me find it. Okay. So I actually don't know the people who tweeted this. However, someone called She's Witty, Shitty, and a Little, and then ... because it's just a screen grab. I don't know what the rest of the name is. Wrote, not everyone will get this. And it's a pie. And on the edge of the pie is like 3.141, you know, pi, the number pi, going all the way around it, the circumference of it. Nice. And then someone named Father Abraham quote tweeted it and said, literally everyone will get this. And it just cracked me up because I love when people think that they're smarter than everyone, and someone's like, no, that's pretty basic.
Yeah, that's, not everyone's gonna get this. Yeah. This is kind of, I'm a little bit of a math nerd.
<I know.
laughs> No, you're not. Yeah. Miles, where can people find you? What's tweet you've been enjoying?
Oh man, Twitter, Instagram, Miles of Gray, also 420 Day Fiance. If you want to hear me talk 90 Day. A couple of tweets, like a lot of people were tagging us in this one tweet from at not like the soup. And it looks like a thin blue line flag.
Yeah.
But rather than like the sort of cobalt royal blue that we're used to seeing for those police flags, it's a tinge. It's just a bit greener than Tiffany blue, which we all know is the true color of Baja Blast. And this flag, apparently someone, this caption around it says, the thin Baja Blast line represents our hardworking Taco Bell workers who put their lives on the line every day serving us delicious, gut-wrenching food, providing Baja Blast for the masses and saying, no, I do not know when potatoes are coming back, all for like $10 an hour. So yes, true heroes. I'd like to see a play on that flag when it's not, you know, caping for systemic racism. A couple other tweets I like. This one is from at MMLXXX Sith Lord. It says, bro, we really at 0% ICU capacity and the fucking mall is open? LMAO.
Jesus.
Oh my God. Exactly. And another one is from Simon Gibson at Simi Gibson. $600 is what rich people think, poor people think is a lot of money.
Yeah. Yep.
And that's precisely the issue we are having. But aside from that, we just have goons who are so out of touch with their humanity, they don't know how most people are living day to day.
Yeah. So. I liked a tweet by Yeet Lovers Pizza that said, next stimulus going to be one of these. And it's just one of those 20% off Bed Bath & Beyond things that you get anytime you're new to a neighborhood.
Can we at least combine them? If I got two, can it be 40% off?
Nope. That does not work. And if you haven't tried that, you aren't American.
Real ones have tried.
Yes, yes. At Rax King is Dead tweeted, Guy Fieri looks like if Santa Claus was in Sugar Ray. That's...
Wow.
Yeah.
I like that.
You can find me on Twitter at Jack_O'Brien. You can find us on Twitter at Daily Zeitgeist. We're at The Daily Zeitgeist on Instagram. We have a Facebook fan page and a website, dailyzeitgeist.com, where we post our episodes and our footnotes, where we link off to the information that we talked about in today's episode, as well as the song we ride out on. Miles, what are we riding out on and into the holiday break upon?
I mean, you know, is it really a break? We're still coming with it to give you the takes over the next few weeks. This is another track from Dirty Art Club, one of my favorite like sort of sample based artists, and this one's called Plastic Drip, and it's just got, again, I love sample-based music because it's really like the collage of music, if I were to compare it to art. It's just really taking from all of these things, putting them together, and presenting us a complete thought with elements that seem familiar yet are giving us something new. So shout out to Dirty Art Club and this track, Plastic Drip. I don't know why the title appealed to me, because the idea, I've been having a whole struggle with drip and what when I wear outfits anymore, when I go out and say I would like to wear a nice sweater, and I just want to get in touch with that again. I think next time we Zoom, I'm gonna start wearing like a suit or something, like an outfit I could have wore to a holiday party, but I couldn't. I'm gonna just rock them on these Zoom calls. Wow. But anyway, I like this track, Plastic Drip. I hope you do too, and I hope y'all have a great holiday.
Next time we Zoom, I will be wearing this same sweatshirt and this same hat. That's a promise.
I know, but cut to me doing the same shit also. Like, I'll say this shit, and I'm like, I don't know, I'm not trying, man. This is all bullshit, I think.
And I don't know when I'm coming back. I hope it's soon, but I'm just going to sit in this chair and not move till then, so I'll also be in the same outfit.
Thank you. All right, there we go.
The Daily Zeitgeist is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows. That is going to do it for this Monday. We're back tomorrow with some year-end episodes, some holiday-themed episodes coming at you over the next couple weeks. This is the last standard episode, so we hope you guys have a great holiday, and we will be back in the new year with more Daily Zeitgeist. We'll talk to y'all then.
Bye. Bye. Zeit Gang, you like to watch new stuff, right? I mean, who doesn't? I do. Well, go to Hulu and see what's new, because Hulu has new stuff all the time, like Vanderpump Villa, the new docudrama starring Lisa Vanderpump, where first-class luxury meets world-class drama. A new season of The Kardashians starring The Kardashians, of course, and Grand Cayman, Secrets in Paradise, the sizzling new reality show set in the tropical Caribbean. It's streaming now, and it's waiting for you on Hulu.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
Here's something you might not know about wireless. Sometimes what you see isn't what you get. But with Visible, what you see is what you get. Switch to Visible, the wireless company that makes wireless visible. Get a one-line plan with unlimited 5G data powered by Verizon. Just $25 per month, taxes and fees included. Switch now at Visible.com. Monthly rate on the Visible plan. For data management practices and additional terms, visit Visible.com.
Rev up your thrills this summer at Cedar Point on the all-new Top Thrill 2. Drive the sky on the world's tallest and fastest triple-launch vertical speedway. And now, for a limited time, get more Cedar Point fun for less with our limited-time bundle for just $49.99. Get admission, parking, and all-day drinks for one low price. But you better hurry, because this bundle won't last long. Save now at cedarpoint.com.